If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to Freaky Fauna Friday, where every Friday we take a little time and explore some of the freaks of nature from around the planet we cherish so deeply. So please, jump aboard and let's explore the wilds together.
Welcome back to Freaky Fauna Friday. I am the great and peaceful Mr. E.
And I'm Jay.
And today we're going to talk about one of my favorite animals.
Ooh, a fish?
It is a fish.
I knew it.
But that's always kind of the joke, isn't it?
Why, favorite animals, yeah. A fish?
Well, no, it's all these animals. I love all of them.
Oh, they're all one of your favorites.
There's very few animals. I don't hate any animal, but there's very few animals that I'm like, I don't like. And the ones I really don't like are domestic.
Let's just say house cats.
And it's not even like if you keep your house cat in the house, they're fine.
Right.
They're just very environmentally destructive.
I'm trying to think what else you don't like, though.
Common carp, rabbits, domestic rabbits, and it's the fur, and it's nothing to do with rabbits. I just don't like the fur.
Oh, I like
with fur. Whatever my tism is.
Oh, I think it's nice and soft and warm.
But today we're going to talk about tiger sharks.
Oh, okay.
I've got to see these guys in the wild a couple times. Little ones, relatively speaking, you know, 6 foot long.
Okay.
But at that size, they're very thin. They don't get really stocky until they're like above 10 feet. But yeah, tiger sharks. Tiger sharks are a species of the family Carcharophilidae, which is, well, you know, some of your most famous sharks belong to that.
Mm.
It's well known for its extremely large size and its aggressive hunting behaviors.
Yeah, that's all I know about them. They're scary we'll talk to be about in that. The water with.
Yeah. Aggressive. It's. I don't like using that word for sharks. Because tiger sharks are extremely curious animals, and like great whites, they have their sensory organs are in their mouth.
Okay.
So they actually have an organ inside their gum line that tells them chemical composition of things.
Oh, wow. So they're chewers?
They have to.
Yeah.
They don't have hands.
Right.
And they're very curious animals. So you'll see tiger sharks, we'll talk about some of their things they do, but they'll bite, and it's not because they're aggressive per se. It's because they're curious. But we are soft compared to them.
Right, yeah.
We don't want to get bit by a tiger shark. Don't go in the ocean.
It's like you got a gusher, and you want to know what that flavor inside is like. There's only one way to really, truly find out. You got to poke a hole in it with your bite and have a little taste.
The name tiger shark comes from their tiger-like dark stripes on their skin, which are clearly visible along the bodies, especially in young tiger sharks. You do when you start seeing some of the really big old females specifically, they do start fading, but they're still there. They're just not as vibrant.
What's that?
The stripes.
Oh, the stripes. Okay, okay, okay.
As they get older, they do kind of fade. And these guys live a long time, but we'll get to that. Tropical and subtropical and warmer temperate salt waters is where these guys inhabit. They do inhabit deep oceans as well as shallow coastal regions. So these are really cool animals because you can run into these in 500, 600, 700 feet of water out in the open ocean.
Okay.
And or they can be in 4 foot of water on the coast.
Yeah.
They're probably, as all of the large sharks, the most opportunistic and the most diverse and adaptable, as long as it's not temperature driven.
So they got a big range
of habitats.
Yeah.
When you're comparing them to like a bull shark, bull sharks have a much bigger range in temperatures.
Oh, okay.
But tiger sharks really don't like cold water.
Okay.
So they will avoid that. But besides that, I mean, you'll see them pop up in the open ocean. But yeah, worldwide seas and oceans, excluding the Mediterranean Sea. But yeah, so anywhere that's pretty much along the equator, every ocean, they're going to be there.
Okay.
They can live up to 50 years, in some cases 70 years old.
That's an old fish.
Mm-hmm. Right now, conservative estimates of the largest living individuals are around 16 feet, with historic estimates putting them at 18 to 20 feet. So just a little smaller. And then that's kind of comparable to like bull sharks, but, you know, a lot smaller than like a great white.
Yeah.
And up to 2,000 pounds.
Okay, that's pretty big.
Making them the second heaviest of the like predatory sharks you're going to run into.
Just reeling in a car.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen people catch them? It is like that.
No, I don't think I've seen that.
The people catch them in like Daytona and stuff like that. They're not super common. So if you're in Florida, for example, and you run into a large shark, it's going to be a bull shark.
Okay.
Just because there's just the number of them. They're just much more abundant coastally in Florida.
Right. The odds are that's what it's going to be.
There are tigers there. Tigers do pup in Florida. But yeah, if you run into a big shark, it's going to be a bull shark. Which, you know, a big, big bull shark is like 800 or 900 pounds, and a big tiger is 2,000, 2,500 pounds.
Gosh, yeah.
But yeah, their skin color ranges from everything from a dark blue to a light green, and they even have overall gray hues to their body.
Ooh.
But they all have these dark vertical bars and sometimes spots on their flanks with pale or white undersides.
Hmm.
Their diet, everything.
Yeah, these guys pretty much eat anything.
Mm-hmm. Crustaceans, fish, seals, birds, squids, turtles, sea snakes, dolphins, smaller sharks, each other.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Oh, it's not even that. Tires, license plates, suits of armor, buckets of nails, magnets.
How tough are you? How tough am I? I had a bowl of nails for breakfast.
But the tiger shark actually did.
Without any milk.
They really only have a couple predators. Larger sharks, you know, so that would be great whites, bull sharks depending on their size, and other tigers, killer whales, pilot whales, and humans.
Oh, gosh. So pilot whales? Mm-hmm. They're eating pilot whales?
No. Pilot whales are eating them.
Oh, that's their predators. I was going to say. Woo!
They actually, despite their appearance, they can be quite fast, up to 35 miles per hour.
I was going to say, I thought they could move, like, in short bursts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they just look like they're big, slow things, and they move like that a lot. There's only one species for an oceanic, worldwide animal. That's pretty impressive. They are near threatened as controversial status.
Hmm, okay.
But yeah, so this species is Geocardo carver, which is not the sand tiger shark. They are not closely related whatsoever. There's the tiger shark, and then there's the sand tiger shark.
Oh, I didn't know there was...
Sand tiger sharks don't... No, they're not related.
Yeah.
It's just a name.
Okay.
They just both kind of have stripes.
Okay.
Tiger sharks directly, though. The tiger shark is one of the Requiem sharks, renowned for its formidable predatory, powerful jaws, and razor-sharp teeth. It is the second largest predatory shark after the great white shark. And this can change a little bit, because some of the oceanic deep-sea sharks... maybe bigger, but it's just unconfirmed. Like six gills and Greenlands and stuff like that.
Well, that's too hard to, are not abundant enough to study them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are found in worldwide marine environments in warm water, particularly in the central Pacific Islands, is where some of the biggest ones in the world are. Anywhere from 45 degrees north to 32 degrees south, with occasional sightings in cooler temperate zones, maybe due to seasonal warm current changes, such as the Gulf Stream. So yeah, they really don't pop out. They stay within those, was it longitudes?
Latitudes. Latitudes, yeah.
They stay within those latitudes pretty much, but occasional warm spikes can have them move in and out.
Okay.
They are near threatened due to the excessive finning operations done by humans.
Like shark fin soup?
Yes. And tiger sharks are heavily tackled for that.
That's wild.
They do not breed a lot, so they are extremely important for the ecosystems they manage. Mm-hmm. People really don't get this. It's a highly controversial topic because humans are scared of predators because it's nature, right?
Right, right.
We're scared of things that can eat us. But for healthy environments, apex predators need to be present.
Right.
And people, a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people do get that. So it's really hard to put that on. Like, there's people like, I don't want tiger sharks off my beach. Well, that's right. How your beach stays healthy.
Right.
If you're scared, like in my thing, I've said it forever. If you're scared of sharks,
don't go in the water.
Don't go in the ocean. They live there.
That's where they live. Yep.
I hate shark infested waters, and the news always says it. They're not infested. They live in the ocean.
Right.
It's human infested waters.
Yeah. We don't need to be. You don't need to be swimming in there at that time of day.
We have pools. Like, if right. you're really scared of sharks, there's a pool.
There's sharks in there.
Tiger sharks are mostly nocturnal apex predators. Their diet is extremely varied, including fish, seabirds, seals, and even more. They have quite the reputation of being garbage eaters, sometimes consuming inedible man-made objects that can get stuck in their stomachs.
Mm.
The tiger shark conservation status is near threatened, like I already said, due to that. They also are hunted for their livers, which are high in vitamin oils, due to the high concentration of vitamin A. You can actually kill yourself from eating a tiger shark liver from vitamin A poisoning.
Wow, too much.
Yeah. A lot of shark livers are like that, but you can you can't eat them.
That's wild that some cultures only catch them and get them for their fins.
It is.
And there's nothing good.
Horrid.
In there. Yeah.
It is a horrid experience because most of the time they throw them back alive.
Ugh, it's
so
terrible.
There's a bunch of them laying on the bottom, like suffocating slowly.
And they just boil the fins for the cartilage. Like they don't even, there's no meat in there.
And I've eaten shark. I'm not saying don't eat sharks, but don't waste 99% of the animal.
Yeah, for something that's, yeah, terrible practice.
Like, I've harvested bull sharks in Florida and black tip reef sharks, and you get so much meat off of one animal. Like, one animal is a lot for a family.
And I've never had shark, steaks.
They're good.
That's what I've heard.
It's very similar to lamb to me.
That's odd, but neat.
This is one of the shark species that has the man-eater moniker. This is due to the incidence of fatal attacks on humans. The nickname is misleading, however, as fatal attacks by tiger sharks are extremely rare, with most human fatalities occurring from drowning in coastal waters after the bite.
Hmm. That's sad.
Yeah. But yeah, so they're not, we talked about that earlier, where it's that curiosity bite.
Yeah.
They're not turning it, most of the fatalities that are attributed to tiger sharks are a bite and then a person drowning after the tiger shark has left.
Mm-hmm. They just want to see the gusher flavor inside.
Well, yeah, it's like I said, they're all of their sensory organs are in their mouth.
Between their teeth.
Tiger shark is ranked second on the list of the number of recorded bites on humans, with 36 recorded fatalities in total.
Is bull shark number one?
I believe it probably is. I don't have that right here in front of me.
Okay.
I could see that, and we'll talk about that too. Typically, there are around 3 to 4 shark bites per year in Hawaii, which are rarely fatal. Because they're really soft bites.
Just to feel like when a dog's feeling out.
I mean, I know it's hard because they're huge animals.
Yeah.
But that is kind of what it is. It's like, because they have their sensory organs. So most of the bites, like from tiger sharks in Hawaii, are just that.
Just grabbing you, just to feel.
Just to see what it is.
Yeah.
Their eyes, they don't have a really good vision.
It's just the problem is they're grabbing you with a mouthful of razor blades.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so with tiger sharks and bull sharks, why they have so many bites is because of their size, their curiosity, and they're coming in contact with humans.
Okay.
They'll go in shallow waters, even for their size.
Right, yeah.
Where people are swimming.
We are where they like to be.
And if you look at most fatal attacks are almost always around riptides, storm events, and what happens is the water gets a little muddy and people still go out. So the tiger shark is getting less of a picture, even more so than normal.
So it just needs to feel.
Yeah, if you're sharks are very intelligent. I highly advise, if you're scared of sharks, go on a pier, a fishing pier, and look down at people swimming. So the people have no idea what's around them, ever. And you'll see dozens, if not hundreds, of sharks swimming in and out of people all day, every day, not biting them.
Are sharks like the dogs of the sea?
Some of them are called dogfish.
Actually, someone just talked about that last night at the bowling alley. They were doing charter fishing in Florida, and they caught a dogfish.
Mm-hmm. They're just little sharks with spines.
And they let it, I don't know, they didn't know what it was at first, and they let it sit in the boat with them. I mean, obviously they ate them. But,
yeah. No, they're good to eat. Dogfish are actually, there's a commercial fishery for them right now. It's a lot, like in the UK, it's kind of quote unquote a problem.
Dogfish or the commercial fishing?
Dogfish, as in people are selling it as cod.
Oh, okay.
Because it is, it's like a white flaky meat. It cooks up really nice, like for fish and chips, fried fish. I've eaten dogfish several times at restaurants. It's fine. It's good. And they're a short-lived, fast reproductive shark. So like a big one's like 3 foot long.
Okay.
So they don't get big.
It's better to burn out than to fade away.
But that's kind of the issue, is that people are being lied to about what they're eating.
Consuming.
They inhabit different kinds of marine environments. This is a newer idea with new modern tracking information. We previously thought they pretty much only lived in shallow coastal areas in a rare open ocean and, you know, just traveling in between.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that's completely wrong. They feed on anything with nutrient-rich waters they can be found. With their trackers on them, they've been found at 350 meters of depth and traveling and spending considerable amounts of time in the open ocean, following any warm currents between islands, just making pit stops. So they're much more of an open ocean navigator than we originally thought.
Thought at all. Yeah, that's wild. That's pretty cool.
And so the shark that they run into and have the most problems with is probably the greater hammerhead, because they're another open ocean thing. But we haven't witnessed that a lot. That's kind of more speculation.
Yeah.
Because they're giants, both, you know, marine giants
that inhabit the open
similar
ocean.
Things. Yeah. So if they run into each other, which hammerheads can be very, very fierce predators.
Huh.
And they are known to sometimes tackle extremely large prey, like tarpon.
Wow.
So the dark stripes on these sharks, another freaky fun effect, fade as they mature. So you can kind of get an idea, you know, females are always larger than males, but you can kind of get an idea of age of how faded their stripes are.
Gotcha.
There's a couple individuals that are very, very old that almost have no stripes left.
Mm.
And you just tell by their big flat head.
Completely faded out, bruh.
Their skin feels like sandpaper. The surface of their skin is covered with tiny teeth-like structures, which are thought to reduce friction in the water as it swims. Some recent research also suggests that the other marine creatures, including fish and sharks, rub up against tiger sharks to chafe off their parasites on their own skin.
Hmm. That's pretty neat.
And if you look, a lot of times tiger sharks always have an entourage.
Like following, swimming under them, and
beside them, like cobia, not even just remoras, which are the sucker fish that stick on them.
Yeah,
like cobia, which are a cousin of remoras that are a sought after game fish, but like a pilot fish, even schools of like Sergeant Daniels and stuff like that.
They use them for protection, right?
Yeah, and just like they'll pick parasites off them, they'll scavenge meals because tiger sharks are really messy feeders.
Mm.
So they sit and shake, so they're just shredding meat.
So they're getting all the scraps that come flying off.
And some of the benefits would be like that of, you know, picking parasites off their skin and that kind of stuff for the tiger shark. Their body has no bones.
Cartilage?
Oh, yep. Their skeleton is made of cartilage, which is the case with all modern day sharks.
Mm-hmm.
It is the only species of Requim shark with suction holes.
So it hangs on to stuff?
These holes, or sporilia, are situated between their eyes. This helps them oxygenate their blood in vessels that lead directly into their eyes and brain.
Okay. So they're just like pulling in.
It's like your nose.
Yeah, they're just pulling in air, basically.
Water.
Well, water. But
so a lot of sharks have not, like, quote-unquote nostrils
for
scent.
Uh-huh.
These guys actually use their nostrils. They're the only big predatory shark that use their nostrils to oxygenate blood as well. It's specifically going to their brain.
Mm-hmm. Brain and eyes. Mm-hmm. Well, part of their brain.
Yeah. It has excellent vision in dim light. So the back of their eyeballs has a layer of reflective tissue called the tapetum, which enhances night vision.
Mm.
So unlike a lot of sharks, these guys actually have very good vision, and that's why I talked about earlier that a lot of their bites happen when the water has lost clarity.
Yeah,
it's too murky. Because one of their big things that they use to see and navigate is, you know, they're blind. Right. So they're using their sensory pores, their pressure sensors, their electromagnetic sensors.
Yeah.
So an arm and a leg is like the size of the fish that they're hunting.
What'd they say that song? Blinded by the murky water.
It can detect the electromagnetic field of prey animals. Like many fish and its relatives, they have small pits on their snout, which are a network of sensory organs called the amplia of Lorenzia. These detect electrical fields, including weak impulses emitted by the prey's heart and brain.
So a lot of sharks have this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some sharks have a much more dramatic one, like hammerheads and tigers. It is a social creature, commonly thought to be entirely solitary. Researchers have found that it makes choices about other tiger sharks to socialize with, especially when in shallow near coastal waters. It also shows some co-optive hunting strategies, forming shoals to attack prey in a wall formation.
Hmm.
So we're finding out a lot more of these guys because we're being able to tag them and actually track them.
Yeah.
They do not like other members and they do enjoy other members. And they will actually kind of hunt together. So this, you don't really see this in large sharks. Sometimes you see it in smaller sharks like black tips.
Yeah.
And even some oceanic animals like makos and stuff like that.
Kind of neat knowing the big ones are doing it too.
Yeah.
Just more rare.
Yeah. And we kind of only really see this around like high abundance prey times, like mackerel runs or, you know, sardine runs where there's just millions of prey. And that can be really hard for an actually large animal to take advantage of.
Well, for one, yeah.
Yeah, for one, because they're just going to keep swimming around it.
Right.
So when there's a wall of them, the little fish panic, and then you're more likely to catch. Its diet is the most varied of any shark on the planet. They eat many marine animals, pretty much anything they can get their teeth into.
Ooh,
stingrays, dolphins, seals, squids, turtles, crabs, seabirds, even other sharks.
They're like the chow chows of the sea. They eat anything.
They also are known to eat terrestrial animals, such as horses, goats, sheep, dogs, cats, and brown rats. There's even recorded event of a tiger shark consuming some songbirds.
Ooh, wow.
It also is a scavenger of inedible man-made objects that stay undigested in its stomach.
That part's sad.
Oh, don't worry. We'll talk about that. It has a little thing to... Well, I can just tell you now. They can regurgitate their stomach if it becomes too full of indigestible objects.
Okay.
So they actually turn their whole stomach inside out, outside their mouth.
Like a starfish?
Kinda. It's like an actual stomach, though, you see.
Yeah.
Their jaws have a unique shape and definition. Unlike other sharks, it has a square, blunt form to its jaw rather than a rounded shape, with its razor teeth are almost identical to on the both upper and lower jaw, unlike most predatory sharks, which have a cutting layer on the lower jaw and a grabbing layer on the upper
top,
jaw.
Yeah.
And we think this is because of their varied diet. This is a much more...
Efficient way to...
Not efficient. It's the opposite. It's much more a jack-of-all-trades, master of none.
Oh, okay. So it gets everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look at like big, like white sharks, they have their jaws are designed to hunt marine mammals,
catch and shred.
Yeah. But they'd have a lot of trouble eating a turtle.
Right. Yeah.
Even though, so these guys can eat turtles and marine mammals. Well, they're not extremely great at either of those things.
They can get the job done.
Anything they run into, they can probably eat.
Yeah.
Their teeth can shear right through flesh, a bone, and shell. There's actually videos of these guys slicing through turtle shells. It is sacred in Hawaiian mythology. The tiger shark is considered a sacred animal in traditional Hawaiian culture, thought to be the reincarnation of deceased family members. Mm. It can go into a trance-like state when its belly's up. Tonic immobility.
Isn't that a lot of sharks, too?
Yeah.
Yep, I've seen that. That's really neat.
The females are larger than the males, you know, so this is known as dimorphism, or sexual dimorphism. The females are a lot bigger. Like, the biggest male is right at the size of an average breeding female.
Okay.
So females get a lot bigger. Unlike most shark species, a tiger shark hatches fertile eggs inside of its own body and gives birth to live young.
Huh. So it's
called ovopreativity.
So it has eggs.
A pregnant female tiger shark lays 10 to 82 eggs inside her own body.
Okay.
Each egg containing an embryo, which feeds on a yolk sac. So a true egg.
Yeah.
Then the embryos hatch inside the female's body to continue to grow until the mother gives birth to fully developed live young. Total gestation period of 13 to 16 months.
Wow.
So if she starts with 80 eggs, most times she only gives birth to 3 to 5 pups.
Wow.
Because they're eating each other.
Okay. So survival of the fittest at that point. So it's like a little incubation chamber.
Yeah.
And eggs hatch inside there and then...
Ovopreativity.
Yeah.
One male can sire a whole litter of pups. Recent studies indicate that 30 to 35 pups per litter are most commonly sired by one male, not multiple males, that was previously thought. Because so it used to be thought that she would be mated by several different males,
yeah,
and produce a bunch of different offspring.
But
and
it then, turns out,
yeah, one, no, just it can be just one.
Yeah, getting the job done.
There are at least two different types of tiger shark. Genetic research has revealed that there are two distinct populations, one in the Atlantic Ocean and the Indo-Pacific Ocean, which have not interbred for a very, very long time. There is also evidence to suggest that the Hawaiian tiger sharks are genetically different as well. So this is still under research, whether there's one species, two, or three species of tiger shark alive today.
Subspecies.
Mm-hmm. So that's it's not quite even there yet, the okay. subspecies level. So subspecies, they get the third scientific name. It means that they are partially genetically distinct, but do interbreed with the main populations.
Okay.
Which could be probably more likely, if, for example, the Hawaiian variety.
Yeah.
Because the Indo-Pacific one will run into them every once in a while and probably breed.
Okay.
So while they do, I mean, maybe isolate a little bit, they're not extremely isolated like the Pacific and the Atlantic.
Would they produce something with, what's it called, hybrid vigor?
Probably not, because they're probably still closely related enough where...
Oh, darn. That'd be neat. An Indo-Pacific Hawaiian 90-foot tiger shark. That'd be scary.
90-foot tiger shark?
Yeah, that gets really big.
But yeah, that's been the tiger shark.
Huh.
It's been a long, it's a little bit longer one, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of information on these guys.
I like tiger sharks. They're very cool. This is definitely an animal to see from afar. There are aquariums that have them. So bull sharks and tiger, nobody has a great white shark, I believe, right now. It's been tried several times. They just don't do good because they're open ocean animals.
They need space.
Yeah. And their food, the amount of food they are consuming and everything like that.
You need like a bantam great white shark.
So there are a couple like salmon sharks or like smaller great whites. There are a couple great whites relatives that are smaller.
The bantam varieties.
Yeah, I wouldn't say small is relative, right? Yeah. When your cousin is 22 feet long and 8,000 pounds.
Right, yeah.
Smaller or bantam is relative.
Right, to the shark.
Yeah. A bantam whale shark would be really cool.
That would be sweet.
If they got like 4 feet long, I'd have an aquarium of those.
That'd be cool. Having like in a koi pond in the backyard, mm-hmm. you know, they feeding the catfish and the koi, you know, cat food or whatever. And then the little whale shark just comes up over. And scoops up the rest.
But yeah. So what do you think of these guys?
Oh, they're really neat. I would just thought they were, you know, just big. Teeth, razor-filled terror machines that want to eat your ankles and your legs.
They're very, very curious. And that's where, I guess, a lot of human interactions come from.
Mm-hmm.
And then humans do not act appropriately when around those happen because they do the prey. They panic and splash. And
yeah.
It excites the tiger shark. If you see a lot of professional divers that are around tiger sharks, most time it never is an issue.
They just don't move.
But that, or they move around with them, and they'll even, like, some people, which I don't advise, will touch them and stuff like that. Oof. Some, like, the professional shark divers.
Yeah.
They'll be like, yeah, this female, we've been doing this for 30 years with her. And
they
don't get bit. You know, they're not dumb animals.
Yeah. You can, when you're with them enough, you can read them. It's just like a dog. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you're around dogs enough, you know when
it's
one's like
Deep Blue isn't one that's, which is a great white that's famous for people diving with.
Yeah.
And then as long as you're smart with her, she's never fine. Bit anybody.
Like I said, you just got to read the animals. And I mean, cats, dogs, it don't matter. If it's panicked and it doesn't want to be touched and you're over there touching it, it's going to do something, whether it's going to bite you or it's going to, like, you know, run away or something. But most likely they bite.
Well, I have been the great and peaceful Mr. E.
And I've been Jay.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Freaky Fauna Friday. If you want to help the podcast grow, remember to share and give it a 5-star review.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.